Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know what? Open your hearts. Loosen your butts. Because it's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, ah, yeah, you are invited, ah, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
And my name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
we answer a couple of questions from a couple of different listeners.
Hot damn. Can you hear Squee snoring in the background?
Oh.
Squee snores. Little animal snores, Naomi.
Yes.
It really just, like, crushes me.
Yeah. It makes your heart so full.
Yes.
Yeah. I understand.
So the feeling of being crushed, but it's like, you know, like you ever see one of those mob movies where they stick someone in a trunk of a car and then they crush the car at a junkyard?
Yep.
That's what squeeze little snores do to my heart.
It's so funny. Last night I was in bed and Primbly, the other cat, he was under the bed, like in one of the drawers. And I'm sitting and I'm going to bed and he does this. I'm like, I knew he was under the bed. And then I realized I hear him snoring.
Uh-huh.
I can hear him snoring from inside a drawer. And I literally, and I was about to go to sleep, and I was like, oh my God, we're both drifting away. We're both off in dreamland together.
Morpheus, you've taken us both.
You guys, we have a wonderful, wonderful show today. This episode is so exciting. You have already heard the dulcet tones of our guest.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we are talking to and getting advice from Kirsten Vangsness.
Hell yes.
Who is also known in my heart as Penelope Garcia from Criminal Minds. You know how I am about Crimmy. This was huge. Kirsten was so nice and so open. She also has a web series called Kirsten's Agenda, which is very funny and very lovely. She is just a damn delight. But before we get there.
There's a lot.
There's a lot to cover.
Look, both of us are science-based people. But Mabel right now is undergoing surgery. If you're hearing this,
yes,
Mabel is undergoing what they call a prophylactic mastectomy.
Yes, yes, yes.
She had a tumor removed, a mass removal a couple weeks ago, and they're like, this is pretty malignant.
Yes, two kinds of malignant.
Yeah, two.
It was two kinds.
Yeah, it was like a Reese's Pieces of tumors.
Yes.
Oh, you got your malignancy and my other malignancy.
Yep.
And like a Reese's peanut butter cup. That's really what I meant. Reese's peanut butter cup of deliciousness. This is of malignancy.
Yep.
And so she's undergoing right now. So send your well wishes out into the universe, folks.
Yes, yes. That Mabel makes it and recovers speedily.
Yeah. So. Last week was Alec Mappa on the show.
Oh, wonderful app.
We had some amazing questions that we answered.
Mm-hmm.
I would say some amazing answers. And we got a lot of responses. So one of the questions was, a woman called us and she noticed that when she was going to the grocery store, when the receipt printed out, things that she didn't buy, she was getting coupons for. Mm-hmm. And it turned out her ex was using her reward card still. And it had been like a long time that they had been apart. So this other person, though,
Yeah.
Hearing the advice that we gave, wrote us. And what did that other person say?
Anonymous writes, I am laughing and cringing while listening to one of your recent calls about the grocery store rewards because I have been on the other side of this. Mm-hmm. My boyfriend and I were also together for about 8 years. We got a paid membership at the local co-op, but it was in his name and number. It was a painful breakup and we're on better terms now, but don't speak often. After we broke up, I kept inputting his phone number at the co-op probably for about a year.
Whew.
Why did I do this? I am genuinely asking myself. I definitely wanted the co-op deals, and I think I felt sort of entitled to still get them since we got the membership together. In the back of my mind, I wondered if he got any alerts when I used the number, but I didn't think so. I think I justified it by thinking he would at least earn the rewards. Now I feel bad because any reminders of him were painful for me, and I hope he wasn't getting a reminder of me every time he shopped. I used his dad's Netflix for a year, too. Oh, God, I'm the worst. Thanks to this caller for making the absurdity of this clear from the other side, and thank you both for the laughs every Tuesday morning.
Oh, Anonymous.
Wow,
thank
Anonymous,
you for...
thank you for your vulnerability. Thank you for your bravery, and I'm very honored that we inspired you to look inward.
But we also got a follow-up, Naomi. Follow-up from the person who wrote the question.
I love this.
Now, if you remember last week,
mm-hmm.
you, Naomi,
I
and
know.
You, listener.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everyone. The you is plural, Naomi.
Yep.
Now, if you remember last week, someone wrote in saying that their boyfriend had had a wisdom tooth surgery.
Yep.
And had said it was not a big deal.
Right.
But then acted all hurt when she didn't treat it like a big deal.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And she was worried, should I have treated it more a big deal? And we were all like, no.
Right.
Right? That he said, like, you have to take someone at their word.
Exactly.
Right? So, Anonymous writes back. I think they were anonymous. Hi, Naomi and Andy. I freaked out hearing you guys talk about this wisdom teeth conundrum. Thank you for the advice. I want to give you an update. We broke up! Shortly after that situation, I started to see it was more than just the wisdom teeth and more of him thinking the world revolves around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I should drop everything I'm doing and serve him. Insert eye roll here. I realized at that point he wasn't a priority in my life and also came to the conclusion that I couldn't see a future with him for multiple reasons besides just that one. It also didn't help that he pointed the finger at me every time I brought up an issue with him.
Mm-hmm.
After 2.5 years together, I called it quits, and I have been so happy ever since.
Wow.
Took me about a day to get over that, and that should speak volumes right there.
Yes,
thank you again. P.S. What I learned from this relationship is never settle and know your worth.
Hello.
Quantity does not equal quality in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And don't feel the pressure of society, peers, and parents that you need to get married and have kids ASAP, especially in your mid-20s. Live your life, do you, and what's best for you.
Well, my God. Anonymous, honestly, has become a therapist. Going through that experience made her realize so much and sharing that all with us. That is accurate. Isn't it beautiful when you hear a question where you're like, the problem is them.
The other Not, person.
Yeah, the other person. The problem is them. And then the listener tells you, I got rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. We were right. We knew what was right.
Yes, you got rid of your own tumor.
He was 12 kinds of malignant. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Put that on a t-shirt. 12 kinds of malignant. I got rid of it.
Just really quickly, some housekeeping, guys. As you know, every Wednesday, 2 p.m. PST, Andy and I do a show on Twitch. And by show, I mean the two of us sit on the couch, talk through things. Andy does a bit. I rant about what I hate. It's a good time.
Yeah.
So if you're interested in that, you can
go to... call it group. It really is. It feels like in this quarantine. If you really want to get rid of those quarantine purgatory blahs,
yes.
join us every yes. Wednesday, 2 p.m. on Twitch, twitch.tv/couplestherapypod. If you don't know what Twitch is, it's basically YouTube for live shows.
Yep.
And mostly playing video games. We
yep.
do not do
we
that.
We don't do that, but yes. we will answer questions from the chat.
Yes. Please join us. And also, Naomi, don't you have a show coming up?
Absolutely. Friday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. PST, I will be doing Comedy Crossing. That is a show where comedy meets Animal Crossing. I will be rendered as an avatar, you guys. As I say my jokes, I don't know how it's going to go.
Are you going to use the Nintendo Switch avatar I made you? Or do you have to make a new one?
I think I have to make a new one. My Nintendo Switch avatar, her hair is cute, but her lips aren't right.
You were there. You approved it.
I know. But I've just second guessed it. So that's what we got going on. Is that it?
And of course, you know, t-shirts and all that stuff. There's link trees in both our Twitter and Instagram bios if you would like t-shirts.
And of course, masksbydebbie.com. Even though, you know, vax is coming, we will still be wearing masks. And honestly, we need to make it fashion. Go to masksbydebbie.com. I'm done now.
All right, roll it.
I think my brand is I have no brand. So if you're looking for authentic, then you're in for a good time. But if not, I'm sorry.
No, I'm going to talk about the fact that we are up in here day 314 in Quar, and you're coming through with a bang, with a blowout. You are still thriving in a way. You have found a way to thrive.
Number one, don't let anybody tell you that they're an introvert unless they've gone through a pandemic and they feel as centered and okay as me.
Oh, wait.
Number two, you haven't seen the back. Number three, I found this very, during pandemic, you know, you're alone. And so you, I don't know what that thing is where I was alone now. Don't even get me started. Who dated a lot during pandemic?
This you guy. Did?
So much.
What?
Zoom dates. I became a professional Zoom date and found the love of my life. No lie.
What? Okay, Andy.
No lie.
Okay, there is so much.
I had very
that's
cartoon.
That's a whole other thing.
My eyes like a cartoon. Like
whole other thing. There is, you know, but you know how you objectify, like you're in pandemic, so you're like, hello, friend. Hello. So I have gotten really, like, you think I'm kidding, but I've gotten very, like, I had to have things around me.
You have stuffed
so
animals.
I did that with my blow dryer. I got real close with it because no one else is around. So I thought one day, like, we're going to learn how to do a bang. And
okay.
That's what happened.
Yeah. You learned things. Right. No, yeah. That's what I wanted to happen. I was really had high hopes for myself. I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to go on Black Girl YouTube and, like, learn to do looks and give you braids and give you twists. Honey, I did twist one day and was like,
that's too much.
No, my arms hurt.
I'm not wearing a bra, and this has a chocolate stain on it. And the only place I can wear it is right now. So
right.
We're okay.
Well, okay. Because you are coming to us with braless realness, mm-hmm. Talk to me about
realness.
Braless realness.
Realness.
Talk to us about the process of Zoom dating and sort of how, like, what made you decide to do that, and, like, how did you approach it?
Okay, I will tell you, I believe that the pursuit of partnership, however you perceive that, for me personally, again, I am an introvert. I do quite well in my own company, mm-hmm. Like, really well, really, really well. I thrive in my own company. Like, I remember, I'm ashamed to say this, and I do believe that these two things can coexist, that this is a horrible pandemic that has taken lives and is awful and should have never happened. And I don't wish it on anybody. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I mean that from the bottom of my heart. You know, day 13, 14, before we really knew how long we were going to be in this, there were times where I was like, geez, I hope this isn't over really quick.
The relief.
I have things I need to do, like, yes. and it's weird, but so I've been quite fine in this, mm-hmm. because you know, of that. But again, I believe, and I'm sorry, I am very circuitous in the way I speak. So
no, honey, take us on a journey.
Look,
take us on a journey.
I get you. I'm feeling your vibes as an introvert myself, who also likes to take a long muddy walk.
Yeah,
to pay off mm-hmm. Valley.
That's what we call mm-hmm. it. Long muddy walk to
I'm
pay off
feel,
Valley.
I think you and I are resonating on the same wavelength.
Okay,
so
good. I'm
please.
Very happy about that. I feel like Naomi and Andrew, I found my people. So like, I believe that I've always been sort of a serial monogamist. Prior to this, I feel like I've mostly sort of, I had online dated once, which sounds bananas when you're famous, and even it sounded bananas to me, but this was Clark Kent.
They couldn't tell with no glasses.
I co-own.
Glasses off.
And I can say this with confidence because I'm never going to online date again. So I can, you know, share this. I can spill this tea now, which is, I just said I co-own a distillery. Not a lie. I do. Icona Distillery in Santa Ana, called the Blink Owl Distillery. When you're that specific about, like, this is what I do, I create stuff and I co-own this distillery, nobody wonders. They go, oh, okay, that's what they do. Like, and so
what?
I just
you
sort
would
of, yeah.
Google. You would literally Google. And well, then it would be like, there she is. That's not a distillery.
I know, you don't know someone's last name, right? When you're online
dating.
No,
and I didn't use my own name. I didn't use my own
okay.
name.
Okay, okay.
What was the name?
And I did a whole bunch of other workarounds, which I will share because I feel like I could teach a class on this now. And everyone should know these things. So I online dated once a few years ago. And I actually met somebody, but it turned out it was one of those things where, like, I would have met them anyway. Like, they were friends of a friend kind of a thing. So, and it was all very quick. So there was not really a lot of dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I do believe that this pursuit of primary partnership for me is a sign of health, because I believe that when you are with however you perceive partnership, whether you're with one person or if you can, I have too many people living inside of me that I'm having sex with to then add other people, like, that's, you know what I mean, that I'm managing. So for me, I believe that, you know, reflecting back with somebody else, it brings up your triggers and how your primary caregivers gave and withheld love and what you're going to choose to grow on, who goes to hours of therapy.
Right.
So I went into it like, okay, well, I was going to do this. And then this pandemic started and I had always dreamed, for me, I had dreamed of only doing virtual dating. When I had first done it back the last time I'd done it and I'd gone through this breakup, I was with somebody for about a year and we broke up. I remember like I'm going to just try to get people to go on like Skype dates with me. I'll have a fake Skype account. I already, and I highly encourage this, even if you're not famous, if you are famous, you absolutely have to get yourself a Google Voice number. You don't give your number.
Okay.
I learned this from somebody one time and I have to know these things because they don't come to me naturally.
Yeah.
I was raised in the Central Valley of California, which is the red part of California, very conservative. I had a very tumultuous upbringing with a very unhealthy father. I was not raised with good boundaries. I was not raised to not be feeling like I wasn't property.
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff. I was very, it was not like, you know, I have a degree of privilege because I am a white girl of, you know, at least like we had a roof over our heads and stuff like that. But some of those things that I think that I had to learn boundaries and like, this is my body. This doesn't, you don't get, and you, but you are you and access to you is like a level of like gates that people get to cross. And if they mess up, they go back a gate. Doesn't mean you have to say, wizard, you shall never pass. But also, like, you know what I mean? But it also means, like, you got to step back for a second. Got to take a second. And I need those because I have had such wildly terrible relationships that have really reflected some of the scarier parts of one primary caregiver in particular. And we all come from who we come from. And we all have our bag of rocks. And I, by no stretch of the imagination, want to get into a whose childhood trauma dick is bigger. But because all of us, I'm sure our dicks are huge.
Right. Well, they're all huge to us. They're all huge to us.
And they're all huge. And the prom queen cries if she doesn't get the pony. And you know what I mean? Like, it all is true.
Size doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. It's the wand. It's not the magician, right? If we know nothing. So I was like, I'm going to date because to me, everything is a spiritual practice. Can be, if you look at it in the right way, right?
Damn, and Kirsten, shit.
It's true, though. It's true, Naomi.
Girl,
isn't
you're coming
it?
Out with it. Tell it. Tell it.
But
tell
it's true. So dating is a spiritual practice, and you're not dating them. You're interfacing with yourself, with, like, the parts of you that you don't either believe in or you don't want or you're afraid about happening. And I think that I don't have the regular qualifications. Like, people have, like, things where they're like, that person better have, I don't know, really wild things that people want. Like, they want people to have jobs or, like, but I really learned, like, oh, my God, my standards are so odd and low and weird and strange. And then you're like, okay, I got to stop dating because mm-hmm. it's not the reflection. Something has to work here.
Right.
And then
you go
and you try it again and you're like, oh, look what I'm attracting now. Okay, this is different. This is different. Mm-hmm. And
wait,
who I'm picking.
What's an example of like an odd standard?
Oh, gosh. Okay, here we go. This is true. I am not making this up one bit. So I am one of the girls that like, or people, whatever, that like, if I need to buy mascara, I will buy 45 mascaras because I can.
Uh-huh.
And then I can tell you which is the good mascara because I tried them all. Right. So I was on Bumble, Tinder, you know.
Raya.
I was on like a bunch. Yeah. I did not get accepted to Raya, my friend. Raya don't want me. No, Raya don't want me.
15 seasons? 15 seasons?
I'm telling you, the authenticity brand is not attractive. And also, you know one thing about Raya and the reason why I realized I needed to put it down? Because every time I'd be like, you don't want me still? Like, I realized though, it's very, classist isn't the word, but it's like you're basically, the pool is this big because it's all the people who go to the same clubs, who go to the same mm-hmm. restaurants, who know the same managers, who know the same shorthand. You're in this pool. It's basically it's like highbrow, you know, like where
making
you're
making a stank face right now.
Where you're having sex with your cousin kind of a thing. And and also this is one of the places I was on. I remember. And I had to be like, Kirsten. So one of the attractive factors that I found that this mm-hmm. guy was, and I'm bisexual. So I have fallen in love with women. I have had long-term relationships with women. I've had long-term relationships with men. But this was a guy. Mm-hmm. He lived in Bakersfield, which I took as a win because not that anybody should think it, if you live in Bakersfield, that's great. Because to me, Bakersfield is a big town because I'm from Porterville and Bakersfield's a big town. So in my mind now, still, this was only 8 months ago. But you have to watch when you're looking at people online, because if your emotional state or how you feel about yourself is at a dip, you're going to be mining from that persona, right? From that part of you, right?
Yes.
So this guy lived in Bakersfield in an apartment, and he had pictures of himself, and he had I think he had his Instagram or something. So and I was always pretty good about doing a dive into that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated, these are the things, Andrew, that were really important to me. I appreciated that his selfies he took, nothing but selfies. Now, if I was in a better state, I would be like, do you not have any friends? Do you not, whatever.
Right.
That the selfies that he took, he didn't have like a sundry errant sock in the background. I took that as like, that's the kind of consciousness of a person that I'm looking for. And then in one bathroom, it was like an apartment bathroom, like just a very modest apartment bathroom, mm-hmm. which I felt like, yes, this is the kind of, I can have a conversation with this person. Like that, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's also unreasonable to expect someone who goes after creativity and things and life in the way that I do. So he had a whole bathroom done in like Batman, and he was like in his 40s. And I took that as like that's good. And my friends were like, what's wrong with you?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, it's all. And my friend was like, so he went to Target to the children's section and got a bunch of Batman stuff. Why are you treating it like, but it, you know, it's better than like having just like brown towels. And then I had like an exchange with him because we matched, because again, come on. He's got an apartment.
He has
and Batman.
A place to
I don't.
Live.
Maybe he is Batman. So,
maybe
so
he is Batman.
We have this back and forth. And I said, what do? You said in here that you like to write things. What are you writing? Oh, I'm writing a stage play and a radio play and this. He lists like 12 things, and I'm like, wow, that's really amazing. I write plays too. I actually wrote a play and I went to Scotland with it a month ago. And then he writes back something about like, it was so like diminishing.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where you're like, okay, this is weird. Cause this is where I would have to tell you that like, I'm a celebrated playwright.
Right.
Neil Gaiman says that my one person show is his favorite. And you don't let, and I have had, I've hand to God, I have sat with my dear, sweet friend, Neil Gaiman, while someone I was dating, like, went to the bathroom at dinner because he's checking him out. And he said to me, what's wrong with you? And I think, I don't know. Do you think he likes me? Do you think they like, do you think she likes me? Kirsten, you have to stop. I've never met. So I have this weird dichotomy that I don't think is unusual with people. And I certainly don't think it's unusual with feminine bent people, whether that be women or men or whatever. I don't think it's that unusual to feel like sometimes like, no, I'm good. And then like, it just, the bottom falls out and you're like, and I can't say that it never happens, but I've gotten to the point now where there's so much space around it that I can look at it instead of act upon it, which is different. So that's what I mean and there's tons of stories like that where I was like, oh gosh. But you know, when you agree to go on a date, especially this sort of format, I cannot recommend this enough. Now, pandemic, it's a no brainer. If they're going to say no to doing this, then there's nothing to talk about, right?
Right. They can't be trusted.
But
right.
In regular life, this should just be the standard to me. It's like, okay, you look good on paper, whether that be I see you, you kind of can spell, you've done something, you know, because I can't sometimes. So, okay. And there's some sort of rapport, but texting can be so tricky. So you never really know. And then now you want to get a voice. You want to get a voice. You want to put a voice to that. So then you have to kind of, and it's lovely when the other person does it, when they go like, hey, here's my number. That's when you whip out your what? Your Google number.
Yes.
You don't give someone
yes.
your number because then they have it and now it's access and nobody wants that. So, and then you tell them, which I would always say that. I would be like, hey, and just, you know, this is my Google number, not my real number. And if someone gets weird about that and doesn't understand, this especially goes for feminine bent people. And I just mean that because feminine bent people tend to not be as physically strong. And you're in a weaker situation sometimes. So if you're going to go on a date with someone just for fucking safety purposes,
right?
Like if they're going to be weird about
this, is
you
criminal
worrying,
minds, honey. This is what criminal minds
you.
Talk, Kirsten. Okay. You.
You
know, you got to give somebody a fake number. You got to protect yourself.
You do. Naomi, I'm not worried about someone chopping me up, but I'm going to make sure that they can't. Yes.
Exactly.
Naomi is worried about that.
I am. I'm always worried about being chopped up. LA is just fucking sick. It's a sick town.
We're okay. There are more of us than them. Yeah. They're okay. Right. And if we learn nothing from it, it's that monsters are created by monsters. So if we're kind to each other, then we're all going to be okay.
Yeah. No
That's
triggers.
The way it works.
Okay.
Hurt monsters.
That's right. Hurt monsters, hurt monsters. That's a t-shirt right there.
You love merch. Kirsten loves merch.
I make three t-shirt ideas per episode. So.
Hurt monsters. Write that down.
There's two more coming.
So then I would give them the number. And then you talk, right? You have like a talking moment. Not long. Then you put a face to it. Now, this is where the magic comes, my friends. A Zoom date like we're having. We're basically, you guys, right now, we're having a Zoom date.
Right. Yeah.
We're exchanging energy. It's probably, but we're enjoying each other's company. And that's all it is. And I used to think of dates as like, I have to like give you my spleen and I have to whatever. No. It's like 45 minutes of your life, you're in your own house, you have to get dressed from here up, you get to choose the environment you're in, you're not taking time to park, you've given them a finite bubble of time, and for that finite bubble of time, they're your girlfriend. Like, that's it. Like, that's how I would see it. Like, okay, you're lucky you get me right now. And you get to learn, like, is someone choosing to, you know, turn that Zoom on with the computer on their lap while they're in their bed and all you see is like the blank wall of their headboard, like and their chin doing that weird thing that all of our chins do when, and you learn so much so quickly. So it was really like clocking through, and I was like, it's a spiritual practice like everything else, and I'm just going to treat it like a spiritual practice, and I'm going to decide I'm going out with me, I'm going to be the best girlfriend, boyfriend, lover, better than anybody else, because I have to do that first anyway, and that's what I want a reflection of, and that's it. And then you're just sort of checking off boxes and kind of going like, okay, that was terrifying. Like, I went on a date with a guy that seemed cool. He was like a chef, and he was like doing all this stuff with giving money to soup kitchens and feeding the homeless and all this stuff I really liked about him. And we're going to have a Zoom date. And the thing pops up. And there's a chair, like that chair you have, and a skull on top of the chair. But no person.
No.
And again, the show I'm on, I'm like, yeah. And never once have we talked, you know, he'd asked me what I did. And I didn't tell him about that. I just sort some other things. And you'd have to have a reveal sometime. And it's also like, it's a little weird, but it's also like, it's not my dirty secret. It's just like a job. You know what I mean? I'm an actor. That's what I do. And it's very vulnerable and can feel sort of shamey to date or something. And I don't know. It's just a weird thing. Like, it's weird, you know? But it was important to me to date because I wanted to try on all different kinds of things and be like, what is that? What is that? And by the way, this is just me. When I say try on, I get too chemically addicted to people, so I couldn't fuck somebody. I can't fuck somebody unless I know I'm a like them because I will be chemically addicted to somebody 10 times faster than I will and they could be terrible for me, and then I won't want to break up with them, and I won't because it overtakes me. So I am not that person. God bless anybody who is that person. Like, go with God, do your thing. But I would rather have sex with myself than do that. But yeah, so and then it was just like those weird things that happened. But anyway, have I said too much?
No, wait.
No, I went back to the skull on the chair.
Yeah, that's literally where I want to go back to the skull thing. Oh, that sounds so that happened. Nuts.
And I went, and then he peeked his head out, right? Because it's Zoom, right? So see this, and it was in like his bedroom. Again, you learn so much. It's like all like peach and tan tones, and it was like a thin, nubby hotel-like bedspread. You learn much. You're like, you're a grown person who has to make decorating choices, and I need to see them to judge you, and this is not helping me or you. So then he peeks his head over. Oh, and also, I find it very offensive. I went out of my way in any time I online dated, and I really think people should do this because eventually people are going to see you anyway. Like, people are very inauthentic. I guess it's because of the world we live in now, to show who they are. So, you know, people are posting pictures of themselves that are like 3 years old or five years. And I'm 48. So, you know, that's just true. And I'm lucky that like I'm a vegetarian or whatever, you know. So, and I do think your face relaxes when you have a good paycheck. You suddenly like,
it's true.
Everything is fine.
It's true. You're like, I'm going to make it. Whatever it is, I'm going to make it.
Every month you get the residual check.
Right. Yes.
It's like moisturizer.
Yes. Yes.
An exfoliant.
It takes care of that. So like, I'm aware of that. But like, if someone is like in my age bracket, and I, you know, I've went out with people considerably, like maybe 10 years younger than me or whatever. But he was around my age, but like I saw him and it was like, oh, you're a liar. That's the first thing you know, right?
yeah.
You're a liar. Like,
right.
You don't know who you are. You're not authentic with yourself. Like, I'm not going to, I have crazy hot pictures of myself. I'm not going to post those on because if I can't maintain that,
exactly.
I mean, I have pretty pictures of myself and I'm not saying I don't look crazy hot sometimes, but like, if I can't keep myself in that exact thing, I'm not showing that on a like, basically like, hey, which rescue cat are you going to pick out? Like, he got on the thing and we start talking, and he would bring up kind of like things like what he did and whatever. And I said, oh, and then I tried to start dropping hints because he was interesting and whatever. And it's like, okay, I might have a second date with him. I don't know, but I'll sort of bridge this and see how this goes. So I kind of kept kind of offering like, yes, because I make things also too. Like, and then.
Oh, you got an Etsy store? Cool.
Yeah.
He's
not
picking it up.
But then at one point he just said like, well, like, of course everybody knows who you are. You didn't think that? You didn't think I didn't know who you were? And it was like this whole thing of like, he thought that I knew that and it was like, it was the weirdest thing. He's like, that's why I did that thing with the skull. And it was like,
oh no.
Weird. Weird and aggressive.
Aggressive.
And I am very much like, I'm an earnest person. I'm a genuine earnest, for better or for worse. It's like that Brené Brown thing about being like the, being like the, you know, the turtle without a shell in the briar patch. Like, that's me. Like, and so it's really important.
That sounds like, I think, people like Disney that. Short.
I know, right? It does. It does. I think it's really important, though, for people who feel that, like, I can't help it. Like, I'm just sensitive, and I am who I am, and I have always been this way, and I'm a weirdo, and I don't have to try. It just is that way, and people are going to kind of treat me strangely sometimes and have all these ideas about me, which is fine, whatever. Like, but it's important that I take really good care of, like, where I'm coming from and everything like that with myself, or those things. Just, I can't be this plain spoken about all of this with you. I can, because, like, I've kind of come out the other side of it, and I like, oh, there was a point to that, and I ended up meeting somebody, and it was like, oh, and even if it blew up in my face now, I'm like, oh, I met, like, that's, I bet the gold's, I remember getting done with that date and being like, going through all the people I was thinking about dating and culling the herd. And it wasn't that that's it, that's the only person for me, which also I took as a good sign, because I wasn't like, just hard eyes, go for
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the kind of person I want to go out with. I want to go out with someone who I have that, I can talk to, I feel like has their stuff together, I feel like is emotionally available. There's a book that my therapist told me about called I can't remember what it's called, but it's got these five principles. And I've used this, which is someone who would be a good family member or a good parent. That doesn't mean I'm not going to have kids, but it means you're nice to waiters. That's how I take it. Uh-huh. Like, you'll be nice to someone who has less power than you. So someone that will be good with kids, even if they don't have kids. Someone that is emotionally, psychologically, and physically, and spiritually responsible for themselves and tries to keep themselves, like, they're responsible
for themselves is a good way to put that. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So far, you know what I mean? These are me so far.
Yeah. See, good. You're good. You're good. Number three is that when they get into an argument, they go as quickly back to love as possible. You know, as quickly back.
They don't hold the darkness.
Yeah, trying to create a rift. Number four was that they're committed to their own creative endeavors. And if they're not, that they truly and deeply support yours, you know, or that, you know, both, I think, would be ideal.
Right.
And I can't remember what number five is, but, you know, but like, no, yeah, it's like you kind of go through them and you make sure, the key is you make sure you're doing that. And then you go, okay, now I demand that of other people, and you have to hit these. Oh, that there's an erotic charge.
Okay, that's number five. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
And so it was like, oh, that's what that means, to tick all those boxes off and to feel met and to be like, oh, it's this cool cocktail of being like, I'm really excited about you, and I also feel very secure. Mm-hmm. And, have you ever read, I have to remember it. I have to look it up. It's the best dating book ever. Mm-hmm. And it's, It's a black woman who takes... I think all of them are women of color. I think they're all BIPOC. I think there might be one white woman in it, but all of them are sort of in different places in their dating journey. And this dating sexologist takes them through this journey, basically, of stuff. And she really encourages them to, like, know yourself, like, do all of those attachment style things and all that. And I read that book, and I've recommended it to so many people. And I'm looking it up right now. I've recommended so many people. Is it called The Game of Desire? Ooh. I think it is. And her name is Shan Boodram, Shan, and then her last name is Boodram.
Oh my God, I think I follow her on Instagram. Did she just have a baby?
She just had a baby.
Then I follow Shan. I didn't even know she wrote a book. Okay.
I don't know her. I found this book. And
are you
remember
saying that like J-Lo?
Huh?
I don't know.
No, you gotta say it like my doppelganger Mariah. I don't know her. Yeah, I think the book is called The Game of Desire, and I remember reading it and being like, starting the book, and it starts with like a date with a girl who's going on a date. It was like, we tried all the things. We took her vaginal juices and put them behind her ear like perfume.
What?
And I was like, this maybe. But then the more I read it, I was like, this is so cool, and it's really I found it very like empowering and interesting. It's got a whole bunch of information in it. But yeah, it's, you have to treat it like school. And I hope I didn't, again, overtake things. I get excited. Clearly, I have a lot of people.
Can we go back to the ear thing? Can you just imagine, like you know, you're like snuggling with someone, you go and smell their ear, and you're like, get.
Well, I guess it's supposed to be. I mean, it's pheromones. Yeah. It's erotic, I would think. I don't know. Kirsten, I'm sex negative, so it sounds horrible to me, but I understand how someone else could find joy in it. You know what
Got
I mean?
It. Got it. I do it for myself on the regular, just to be clear, but maybe that's because I'm like, bisexual.
Am I here? No, am I feeling myself?
I will take my own vaginal fluids, and I will, like, put them in places. Kind of like What's Her Face from Saturday Night Live, like the...
Oh.
Molly Shannon's character.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Gwyneth Paltrow.
For the Saturday Night Live. Okay, yeah, not a goop. Yeah. Not a full goop situation.
Mary Catherine, is that the name of the character?
Mary Catherine Gallagher. That's right.
Okay, there's been, we got so much.
Wait,
and I feel like we need to just like go to a quick break so we can answer people's questions. What do you think, Andrew? Because I feel like Kirsten's already giving us tea. You know what I mean? She's giving us a book list. She is telling us how to live. She is telling us how to create boundaries. She is telling us how to get a Google number.
Yes, let's take a break. When we come back, I got one more question.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us, mostly spilling the tea, and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show.
And we're back. Here's... All right. Yes. You said, though, you found the love of your life. Did I miss? Yes, that was said, right?
That was said.
Yeah.
What was the difference? Like, what was the thing that clued you into this person that you're like, oh, okay, this is different from Skull Man or, or
like I said, I have been in a lot of, not a lot of, really, I haven't been in that many. I'm a serial monogamist. So when I've had relationships, the shortest relationship I've had has been like a year. But most of the time they've been back to back, you know.
What were you running from? Like, why couldn't you be alone?
Right. It's true, right? And then I was alone for like a year and a half. And I think the difference was, okay, I must sound real strange right now. Get ready. I created, like I said, I think it's important to be a good girlfriend, boyfriend person for yourself. It's like I created that relationship in my for myself. And I would say Yes, me. But don't get me wrong. During this pandemic, especially prior to having the person that I have now, did I slow dance with a pillow listening to Luther Vandross? Yes. Yes, I did. Did I sometimes pretend and talk in a lower register voice to myself about things when I felt like I wasn't being Yes, I did. And you can get mad at yourself, and I would. I'd beat myself up about it and be like, that's so stupid. But at the same time, if it makes you feel better, who cares? Like, right. No one's there. Mm-hmm. And if you can trick yourself enough and you get that cascade of hormones that you need to make yourself feel better in that moment, I don't care what you do. Like, whatever you need to do to get through the day. And I spent much of my childhood using my imagination in sort of big ways to handle unruly things. And so I'm good at that. And I developed this sense of self that I think is really where I'm at now. And when I met him, he could go away tomorrow. I already have the internal structure of it. So it was like, oh, you're a match to me. You're here, and I'm so appreciative you're here, and I'm so excited about it, and it's really fun. But you could go away tomorrow, and I know that I'm okay. I don't want him to go away. Like, I want him to stick around, and he feels the same way, and that's great. But I think it was that, and it was just the sort of ease, like the that kind of like, I think that there has been that regular chemical addiction that happens when you first meet somebody, but not in like that the other bit is also there. And I don't feel, I just feel like myself. My friends have we've had far away, you know, outdoor wave at each other friendship time, and they've met him. And their takeaway has been like, you're yourself. You're just Kirsten. Yeah. And I'm earnest and weird, and I've had relationships where it's like, out in public it's one thing, and at home it's almost like I needed the person to create drama, because if they create the drama, then I never have to face how sometimes I don't like myself. Right. They're doing it, and I can kind of say like, look. And now, is it disturbing sometimes that like he is who he is, like consistently, and that means that I have to deal with my own the call is coming from inside the house.
Yes, that's true. Yes. Okay, this was like literally one of the things I remember saying about Andy, because Andy is very self-sufficient, and even now, like, we've been together almost 11 years and like Andy for the most part will just kind of like, he'll kind of like handle himself and then maybe tell me about it. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like, oh yeah, I was struggling with that, and now it's done. And I remember initially being like, it was hard, because I was like, holy crap, this person is like, not, do you not love me? Why aren't you asking for me? Why aren't you whatever? But I realized, I was like, this is good for me, because it's going to force me to handle my shit, because I cannot get in his life. You know what I mean? Like, it's not my job. Like, the way you can use somebody to keep you busy, basically. Just like your mess, your drama, your whatever keeps me busy. And then I don't have to deal with the fact that, you know, I only eat brownies as a meal and hate myself. Yes. And it was like, he was like, I'm busy writing, so you might want to handle why you hate yourself. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just, it had to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but exactly.
But I do want you to handle those. It's not that it's not that I'm sitting here and being like, yeah, whatever she does. I don't know what this voice is. It's me. I got a skull on my chair. Hey. But like,
no, you weren't detached, but I'm saying like, I could not use you as an excuse for not dealing with me.
Right.
Even in a relationship.
Right.
Because you're a very self-sufficient person. So, it was like, and I was like, oh, you still like me though. Cause see, I took that self-sufficiency to mean he's not that into me then. Like, you know, like, what, it's very stupid, but like one time you got sick, not bad sick. Right. But it was something where I was like, I'm going to bring him soup and I'm going to come around. First of all, Kirsten, I don't know if you ever lived in New York, but I lived in Harlem and Andy lived in Greenpoint.
That's far.
Yes.
Three trains.
Anytime I was choosing to go to his house, that was a lifestyle. That was a full on, like, that is your evening or that is your weekend day. Mm-hmm. And so I'm calling, and then he doesn't call me, and I'm like, oh God, oh God. And then like I show up after work. Lord knows I got my own shit to do. You know that 5-6 hours you get after a after a day job. Yes. And then I get there, and I'm like, Andrew. Like, and I'm like, and he like comes to the door, and he's like, yeah, I didn't feel well. He's like, you don't need to do anything. He's like, you don't have to. Like, he's like, I appreciate it, but that's not like I need
that.
And
it's very disturbing, I think, because we spend a lot of time being like, okay, in those other relationships or just by ourselves, I do this a lot of times. Okay, if I was more this, I was more that. If I did this better, if I did this, they'll be better, or then they'll love me, or then whatever. Yes. And when someone is just like, oh no, I like you like this, you're
yeah.
like,
yeah.
What? What? Like, exactly. And I had a whole thing about it at first. Like, I was like, he's kind and he's handsome. And literally, this is hand to God. I had a thing. I told my friends, I was like, I think he's a spy. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, I think he's a spy. And he said, why? What is he spying on you? Talk me through this. And I was like, I can tell you right now, and you're going to think it's crazy, but it makes sense to me. Okay, he's in a room with a bunch of other very attractive people. They see me living my life, right? Living my best life, but like outside of the box, trying to make things. I'm doing this YouTube show that a good 400 people are watching now, and I'm trying to change minds, right? I'm trying to massage the red state people toward the light. I'm trying to brainwash them in the good way. And the Russians know about this. And all of a sudden, they see me on Tinder because they got a flag on me. And it's like, boop, boop, boop. And they bring him in because he vaguely gives off this kind of Simon Labani vibe. And they know that that's my kryptonite. And they swoop him in. And they sit him down. And they put headphones on him like an undercover brother. And they pump information about me. You know what I'm talking about?
Though?
They pump Kirsten info into his head. So that when I meet him, he's ready to go. And it's just, that's what it felt like. And I was like, it can't be that he just likes me and that we're good for each other. It's got to be right. He's a spy. That's more logical.
I just need to point out that you're the first white person I ever met who mentioned undercover brother. And I love that about you.
It is on my top five. It is everyone. If you have not seen Undercover Brother, I've got two movies that people don't watch enough. One is Undercover Brother and one is SpongeBob SquarePants 1 and 2. 2 is, it is art. It is, it turns its head on things. I love it so much. But Undercover Brother holds up, argue, better
so
now. I mean, especially during the Trump presidency. But, like, it holds up, especially right now. I can't recommend it enough. It's such
yeah.
a good movie.
It's very funny. And it's like, to me, I call that Neil Patrick Harris's true comeback. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, yes. I met your mother. I was like, honey, did you see him in Undercover Brother?
Mm-mm, Undercover
that
Brother.
Him at his best. Oh, my God. Andy, are you ready with some questions?
I am ready with a number of questions. So we get them over Gmail, Instagram, Twitter, voicemail. This first one, anonymous.
Oh, I love when it's anonymous.
I have to follow you guys on the Instagram.
Anonymous from Instagram.
Come hang out.
You want to see pictures of us and our pets?
Who doesn't? That's mine. So, yeah. Water's fine. Okay, Anonymous, go.
Hey, y'all. Love the pod a bunch. So, I have an issue.
Love it.
I'm getting married, and my best friend is, was my maid of honor. I just had my bachelorette party, and she, of course, came. Came to legit the whole weekend. She did not wear a mask and did not even make it seem like catching COVID was a big deal. Oh, so fast forward 2 weeks after my bachelorette party, about a month before my wedding, she randomly texts. Now that's all in capitals. Texts me and says she's not coming to the wedding because she doesn't want to get COVID. Now I completely understand that she's coming from out of town and stuff, but I'm like wondering if she never planned on coming in the first place. She hadn't bought her plane ticket or her dress. We haven't talked since she sent that text, which is also why I'm upset. She didn't have the decency to call me.
Right.
And we FaceTime all the time. So I guess my question is, am I tripping?
That's my question.
No.
Am I tripping?
Am I tripping, question mark? Or am I just being selfish because I wanted my best friend next to me on my wedding day? Also, here's the more difficult one. How do I move past this?
Right.
Because I feel awkward and I don't really know what to say. Usually we start with a softball. This is kind of a softball, but
you don't have to be Angela Lansbury to figure out that
Right.
She does not want to come to your wedding.
Right.
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 Because the actions are showing that.
But at the same time, here's something I've been thinking a lot about as we're older. You know, when we are little kids, when we're teenagers especially, and I think women especially, or as you would say, female bent, we will talk about our feelings. We will say, meaning with our friends, being mm-hmm. like, you hurt my feelings. You made me mad. You may go silent treatment for a week or be a little bitch in the cafeteria, but eventually you know what's up. And I feel like as we get older, we all get into our individual lives, we stop telling people what we feel. It's more like, well, you're an adult, I'm an adult, do what you're gonna do. And I think the thing is, no matter how old you get, you still have to tell people how to treat you.
That is true.
You still I got a hurt feeling.
Yeah, I never figured out that I was an adult. So I still, to this day, do that. I think I do it in, I think to say to somebody else, what is this? I just read this in a thing the other day, and I've been thinking about it a lot. You can't talk to someone who believes their own lies. So she can't go to this friend and say, these are the things you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Also, someone who's being judged, I heard this on a different podcast, someone who's being judged, you can't influence them and judge them at the same time. It just can't happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's like, but you can say what my therapist calls undeniable truths. So okay. you can say to somebody, when I saw that you're not going to come, or when you weren't wearing a mask at the thing, so you're giving a factual statement.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I felt pressure in my chest. Whatever you feel when you're angry.
Mm-hmm,
we're not talking about what you thought or what it means or whatever. I felt pressure in my chest, and I felt, fill in the emotion.
Right, right.
And you'd be surprised. I'm always surprised because clearly brevity is not my forte. Giving space for people, like, don't give them, you know, like, don't make them thirsty for your words. Don't make them, like, then things like that, you give a few sentences and you lob the ball, and now we're in friend tennis. And it's her job. You get to see what she lobs back, because it's
right,
not just
right.
a one-off of, like, you know, I said, this sounds like a little game of,
yes.
of tennis.
Right. Well, right now it feels like she's playing handball with a wall. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, yeah, you need to be in tennis. Because it's like, it's so true. It's like, she texted you, which was already like, I get that. But now you have to say something to her a la, like, you know, when you said you weren't coming, I was really disappointed because
well, people
I
would argue that disappointed,
you think
disappointed
that's
is not a feeling. Angry, sad. If we're going down
like I was
deep
bummed.
Into feelings.
Yeah, like, would you, but like, say it not in a, like,
or
a,
say, or, but what Kirsten was saying was like, the whatever that, like, the literal, the thing that in my therapy I have been instructed to do, which is pay attention to the physical feeling in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're saying is like, when you texted me, I felt rawness in my throat.
Yeah.
or not
whatever.
In my stomach.
What? But or then, not in my stomach.
But then if I was receiving that information, then my response would be like, so what does that mean? You see what I'm saying? Like, I would want to know what the knot represents to you.
I felt, no, you also say that. Like, I felt pressure in my chest, and mm-hmm. I felt very, what I'm saying about disappointed is,
yeah.
We use, language is very valuable, and I think people don't realize how much we smuggle in with words.
Mm.
And disappointed, you can smuggle guilt into
it's
that.
It's a judge.
Word.
Uh-huh. I see that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I see
so sad. I'm not saying you don't judge her, because we're all judging her. Just to be clear, we're judging her harshly, your friend. But if you want to have a conversation with her, right, you're going to go with angry, sad, mad. What's going to be fascinating is what we all do. I don't know about you, but if someone says to me, you did this and I felt angry, I usually get like, well, you did this and I got angry. You know what I mean? It's
right. Then you want to win it. That now you're in an argument and it's like, well, I want to win it. So I'm going to lob something at you.
Gay Hendricks, who is I love him. He's a psychotherapist. He wrote a book called The Big Leap. He says that arguing is competing for the victim position.
Oh, honey, damn. That's a word.
Damn.
That is a word. Okay.
Damn.
Kirsten is now the therapist in residence for Couples Therapy Pod. Okay. Because, and then every
it's
week,
it's just that I know all the different ones. Yes.
Yeah. That is a
it's
word and a mood.
It is. Because I remember arguments. I remember up until, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, arguments were like, death tournaments, right? They were, yes. Even like, because I remember certain arguments where like partway through I would realize I was wrong. And I would be like, shit, well, I can't admit I'm wrong. I still have to fight this gladiatorial combat out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
To the death.
Yeah.
And then I would just pivot. And then eventually I would just exhaust my
opponent. Friend,
my
lover,
interlocutor.
Family member.
Yeah.
Opponent.
Yeah.
Until like, you know, 5 years where it's just like, I realize I'm wrong and I'm like, fuck. And I go, okay, I'm wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you, Naomi, you know this now, but like when you hear me go, ah, shit, in the middle of an argument, that's me like, all right, I'm wrong.
Yeah. And now it's just fun. And then you just start laughing at yourself. But I mean, I think that's the whole point. We're saying all this too to say, it's like, that answers your second question, which is, how do I move past this? Mm-hmm. Until you have a conversation where you get to say how you felt, you're not going to move past it. And the past, it doesn't mean y'all are cool again necessarily. The past, right. It means you said what you had to say. And you know where that, and as a result of you saying what you have to say, you know where that person stands.
Yeah, and it's back to those boundaries. You know, boundaries aren't walls. They're like how we protect ourselves. So this person is your best friend. That means that they have a lot of access. And that doesn't mean that you don't talk to her, but maybe you don't. Best friends are the people you rely on and you rest on. And that's a soft place to land. And this might not be that place right now.
Right. That person may not be that place right now. It's so true. It's like... And it's like, but yeah, it's like, no, you're not crazy. It's like, it sucks when somebody you really value, you know, and want to see you on a special date doesn't choose to show up. That doesn't make you cray.
But if they're there and she's got all this drama, she's going to make the special day not special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's going to be a production. Totally. But also, because at first I thought she was literally going to be like, she didn't wear a mask. And now she's saying she can't come to my wedding because she has COVID. It's like what I thought it was going to be. But I'm like, okay, something else entirely.
Clearly this is also that girl projecting her own behavior. She probably wasn't wearing a mask, wasn't taking it seriously. Now she probably, God forbid, has someone in her life that got very sick, hopefully is still, you know, around.
Oh.
But like, and now is like, oh, I'm not the problem, because people who do shit like that have a hard time taking self-responsibility. Mm-hmm. And so now it's everybody else. They better not act like me. So, you know.
Yeah, exactly. She's on her journey, honey. Bless her.
Why don't we do a voicemail?
Oh, I love a voicemail, because then I get to hear where you're at emotionally. So I'm always going to say you should call in 323-524-7839.
This is exciting. Okay.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. This is Dana. I called yesterday on Christmas Day. Now it's the day after Christmas. I have had ample time to reflect, try to figure out what the frick is my real question. So... always been queer, had relationships with men and women, had a relationship with my ex-husband, 12 years. We have two kids, they're teenagers. We separated 5 or 6 years ago when I fell in love with Suzanne, my current partner. I am 47. She is 65. We are very happy, and I have always considered myself to be bisexual. I am attracted to men. I like men. I'm attracted to women. I like women. She is very threatened by that, and she's Irish, and she's always kind of putting me down or saying that bisexuality is not real. Mm. I feel like it is very real. I want to live in a way that makes me really happy sexually, emotionally, and otherwise. And I'm scared that if I keep bringing it up and talking about it, she and I are not going to be able to stay together, because she's a bit more, I don't know, not as adventurous sexually as I am. And she also gets really threatened when I talk about attraction to men. So what can I do to help get both of our needs met? I adore you guys so much, and I hope that you're having a wonderful day.
Oh, my God. Kirsten, we didn't even know. We didn't even know
you
were
bisexual. I'm so excited.
I
feel like,
question.
I feel like first of all, I love this. I love her love. I love all of that. I don't want to interrupt you guys.
I was like, we had no idea. You know, I'm like, that's a good question for you. Okay,
my first thought is it's two separate things. Mm-hmm. There was a time in my life, a while ago, but I sort of burnt myself. I realized that I'm not built for poly. The idea of it is very attractive to me, but I'm just not, like I said, the same way. And like, I can only do like one person. Right.
You're attached. Now, you get to it chemically attached. You can't.
Now that's just me. Now, mm-hmm. Do not get me started. My sex life is, and I totally understand that. I do that myself. Like the invalidating of, I used to not think I was bisexual because when I fell in love with a woman, it made so much sense. Everything just so clearly resonated. I was like, oh, and everybody in my family was like, yeah, we knew that. We knew you were a lesbian. We knew it. And it was like, oh, and everything made sense and it was there and okay. And I got it and my life's moving on. And it's very disturbing and feels gross and almost like you're, oh my God, like there's heterosexuality on me and I didn't know it. Like, and you want to clean it off and it's awful and whatever. And I had to, and this has been years in the making that like, I've processed through. I remember doing a podcast, the Coming Out Pod, and one of the women is bi and poly, so she's married, and she also has a long-term girlfriend. They've got their setup, mm-hmm. And very committed to both of those partners, and really likes it that way. And another woman on the podcast, lesbian, and I was saying I never feel gay enough. I said, I only know how to have queer sex because I'm queer. And I'm always in the room when the sex is happening. So it's always going to be queer sex. Like, I don't know how to prove to somebody else mm-hmm. how to validate how on my Kinsey scale I am. You'd have to go inside my brain. But I know if you hook me up to a polygraph test, it's not going to be like, uh-oh, she really is straight. Like, that's never going to happen. But, like, does it invalidate it when I'm with a man? Every time I say, oh, I dated a man, I clock myself because I'm like, did I sit? They don't know how many times I've dated women. They don't know how many mm-hmm. long-term relationships. So that I need to make sure it's somehow like it's an even scale and that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you've never once kissed a woman. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if you've never once kissed a man. It's no one's business. It's about your private sexuality and how it expresses itself. But in this podcast, that when we were talking, I said, I never feel like I'm a good bisexual because like I'm always with either a man or a woman, you know, that's been my life. And I haven't been with enough women, you know, to really feel like I'm a good bisexual. And the woman, one of the women said, I don't feel like I'm a good lesbian because sometimes I get very attracted to stereotypically feminine straight girls. You know, like she said, like the girl from Gossip Girl, the lead from Gossip Girl, whatever her name is. Yeah, she said, I have a crush on Blake Lively. It invalidates me as a lesbian. And the bisexual girl said, I don't feel like I'm a good bisexual because I get to have both at the same time. And I feel like we all do this because we all have this ideal woman inside of us that's rattling around. When you put two women together and we have our ideal women that tell us who we should be, and then it's getting pushed out who that person should be. It's more than just what I'm hearing in this conversation. What is her name, this woman?
Dana.
What I'm hearing Dana's conundrum is the invalidation of bisexuality, which just means that her partner needs to educate herself if she doesn't understand that, like all of us do. And I think that Dana needs to educate herself, so not so that she can defend herself, but so that she can feel at peace and that she's valid. How she's showing up is valid. Mm-hmm. And then it's a whole other situation, the poly thing. They're not mutually exclusive. There's plenty of times that I've wanted to have sex with someone of the opposite sex, and I am with somebody, and I choose not to do that. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't want to. And that's on me, and that's how I want to do things. Because I've very gently tiptoed into the like, okay, I'm gonna make out with this person and make out with that, and it's like, and have that on the side. It's too for me,
right?
It's too much.
Too much work.
I mean, it's a very complicated lifestyle. It's not just if you want to do it ethically and so that everybody's on the same page, mm-hmm. because you really stir up a lot of emotions when you are being sexual with someone in any way, whether that's you're eating ice cream sexually or whether you're sticking your fingers inside of orifices, that there's a lot there, and mm-hmm. and it's great, but it's like, it's a choice. Like but her reality, which I think is okay. Your reality is you want to be poly. That's real. Yeah. That's real. Yeah. That's what you want. And that's okay. Like, and we have to discern, like, what do we want? And if you are very happy with this woman and that's a deal breaker to her, you know, and I don't know, like, I think of Dan Savage always saying, like, love is not a deposition. Like, so does that mean that you go do your thing? But that's not really that's the whole ethical thing about it. Are you trying to go be poly and not hurt your partner's feelings? Because that's impossible.
Yeah.
But it's not your job. It's not your job to, it's not our job to, like, I promise all of my actions are never going to not hurt you, but you can be kind and, you know, follow your bliss and hope that that person does too. But it's also not your job to say, I should be able to do whatever I want and you should just want to stay with me and be happy.
Exactly. Right. Yes, right. Exactly. I mean, the one thing you said it all. I think it's all right. The one thing I feel like I don't like is when Dana says that Suzanne belittles bisexuality.
Yes, I did not like
and
that
now
either.
She feels threatened. Yeah. I was like, that's the kind of stuff where, you know, again, when you're like, she needs to educate herself. It's like, girl, you're 65. Y'all been together. She's been with you over 5 years. She should have done that.
I know.
Do you know what
I
mean?
And, you know, to be honest, as I sit here and have the conversation, my internalized homophobia sides with her partner a little bit sometimes. Like, as I hear it even, there's a part of me that goes, oh, yeah, it's invalid. And I have to be like, hey. You know, and I think that that's all of us. You do have to be aware of that. And it goes back to what we were saying, like, if she's strong in herself and secure in herself, then you don't need your partner you can realize that you're invalidating it yourself. So please, first, I would say, just make sure you're not invalidating yourself.
Right.
And you're really soothing yourself about that and not looking for your partner's approval of your sexual expression. Although I agree, that would be weird if I
that
felt
needs
like
to be, that needs to be worked out is what I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That needs to
yeah.
be worked out. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing.
For sure.
I'm like, no matter what, especially because it's like this part is part of your identity. So if someone, there's one thing to be like, you make fun of me because I eat peanut butter straight from the can.
Yeah.
Can of peanut butter. I don't know how it comes.
I know what you're
but
Naomi's so rich. She doesn't even know how peanut butter. Like,
she gets the pop top peanut butter.
Comes in a six pack. What, how is that? Yeah. I don't know.
How much is a banana? $10.
Why do I keep using this voice?
But so I'm like, it's not that. Like, that's like one thing to be like, no, this is like part of your identity, and this person feeling, you know, saying this isn't real. Like, you obviously like make sure you believe it's real. But it's also like, you don't need to put up with that.
No,
you may want to. I'm telling you, you don't have to.
Yes, and it was beautiful. Yeah. Your question was so beautifully set out. But like when you unwrap it, it's like a matryoshka doll, and there's a couple of different issues. It's not just this is the one issue. It's the way your partner is making you feel about this thing. It's that your partner feels scared about the polyamory. Yeah. Your partner is invalidating your bisexuality. It's that you're not sure if it's okay that your partner is invalidating your it's a lot of different things that need to be separately addressed that are getting kind of lumped all into one issue.
Yeah, I wonder if for Suzanne, if there's I wonder if there's some element of fear. I wonder, like, I mean, I don't know, like, what it obviously is to be 65. But, like, I imagine there's, like, if you're in a, like, healthy relationship, like, they've been together, what did she say, for 5 years?
Yeah,
or something
she said
like
5 years, I think.
And you are, in the back nine of existence that perhaps you're like, I don't want to have to find someone else. I thought this was going to be it. This is the person.
I mean, or that the flip side of it, we don't know. She could just be like the crazy hot Susan Sarandon. I'm 206, and she's true. Like, I could go get anybody I wanted, and I'm choosing to stay with you. You know what I mean? I'm seeing the "Take Me or Leave Me" song in Rent.
Uh-huh.
Yelling.
Oh
children.
Yeah, that, like, feels very right.
But like, so we don't know. But I hear what you're saying. I do think that there's a. I think anytime we try to say like you should just want me and you should just look at me and you should just be with me and you should never think about someone else, it's a little starvation economy. It's a little bit being like, if you go look at somebody else, it's like instead of abundance economy, like there's plenty, there's always going to be plenty of you for me. But you know, that's a, I don't know. Like I'm not 65 and I think if someone said to me, but that's, and that's not because I'm a good person or like that. It's like, I just, you know, I have been asked to go on a date with two people and I've been asked to, like, you know, on the dating world, anybody who's online dated knows that, like, there's a lot of polyamory relationships out there. Hmm. There's some really cool people that it was like, you seem really cool, but that would mean that that would be the thing I was signing up for. And
right.
I that's, you know, I don't know. Like, that's, but I hear what you're saying. Like, someone who's more set in their ways because they've been on the planet longer.
Or it's just insecurity. Like, no matter what it comes from, like, regardless of her age, it's like, she's just, it's, it, it makes you feel insecure. And, like, I get that. Like, I, you know, insecurity is my jam. But it's like, you know, I would get that feeling of, like, oh, I don't want to feel like, you know, because I think some people always feel like, well, if you like another gender, that means that there's something in me that's not enough. Like, I'll never be able to do blank for you.
Or, and it's, you sort must of like, not want to be with me and this is a gateway drug to get out.
This, that's what I mean. Exactly. It's like, that's what that all is. Or, you know, that's what it, part of what that all is or can be. That it's like, okay. And that's like, that is on Suzanne to work out.
Right.
To be like, I am enough. We are happy. You know, but at the same time, again, if Suzanne's like, I don't want to share you. It's like, that's also, it's like, okay. I hear that.
Valid, then you have to make a decision.
Right. Then,
what is worth more?
Well, they both make a decision. Exactly. Exactly.
I think that there are some books to read and there's some therapy to go to.
Yes, definitely.
And there's a lot of kindness and gentleness because this is conversations. And conversations, I feel like we all do this. Like, we get too scared of even having the conversation because it means it's going to happen right now. And it's not. You know what I mean? People should be allowed to have the freedom to talk and to dream and to posit things and not feel like that means it's happening. You know what I mean? Like, and so I would say give yourselves a lot of gentleness because it's a hot, both of them are hot button issues clearly in their relationship.
Yeah. Definitely. Whew, that was a good one. That was a good one. Thank you, Dana, for calling in. I appreciate that. And I live for a voicemail and I understood that. And, oh my God. But you're wonderful. I like you and Suzanne. It was funny when you said Suzanne was Irish and I thought something was going to happen with that. It was just like, she's Irish. And she makes fun of me.
And I was like, painting us a picture.
Yeah. I didn't know if it was like, because she's Irish, she is like, she's like a roaster. Like, she's like jabbing at me.
Maybe she has a hot accent.
Well, then that would be, yeah, that's why I have to stay here.
It's important to me.
Oh my God, Kirsten, thank you so much.
Oh, this was a real pleasure.
For just being so open. You came really with an open heart and a loose butt, which is like all we could ever ask for.
Yeah.
Well, so did you guys, so it's easy. It makes it easy. Yeah.
You're the best in the game. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.